DW Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to DW's Africa Link program, coming to you live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Eunice Onjiro. Remember, we always welcome your feedback. Go to our Facebook page, DW Africa, and leave your comment there.
Coming up on the program, three human rights activists, two corruption fighters, a farmer and an agriculture scientist are the 2018 winners of the Alternative Nobel Prize. We'll hear from one of them.
People were very vulnerable in the 80s. It fluctuated between experiencing droughts one year, and then if it did rain, instead of soaking into the ground as it does now, it would flood off.
And Uganda's popular musician Bobby Wine vows to fight for his country's freedom following the growing police brutality against opposition supporters and the media. And we hear from him.
The rights of people have been abused, people have been brutalized and many killed, and it has always been conveniently concealed. But I'm glad that cannot happen anymore.
These are some of the stories that we've lined up for you. But first, let's listen to the news in brief from around the world.
DW News.
This is DW News with me, Zipporah Nyambura. Tanzania's government has today launched an investigation into the cause of the ferry disaster in which over 200 people died. A preliminary investigation found that overloading was the main reason why the MV Nyerere overturned on Thursday. More than 260 people were on the ferry, which had a capacity for only 100 passengers. The death toll climbed to 227 people today when three more bodies were found in the boat. Ukerewe MP Joseph Mukundi says respecting resolutions of investigations will stop such calamities.
We have been setting up committees to investigate tragedies, but we see this happening again. In my opinion, setting up an investigation council is one thing, but resolving such tragedies is another thing.
Top U.S. Justice official Rod Rosenstein has submitted his resignation at the White House after making critical comments about President Donald Trump. This follows reports that America's second most senior law official last year talked about secretly recording the president and suggesting using the 25th Amendment to remove Trump as unfit for office. Rosenstein has since denied the reports. Ugandan pop star and opposition figure Bobby Wine now says he is concerned about his safety 4 days after returning from the United States, where he sought medical care for injuries sustained during alleged state torture. Bobby Wine, whose real name is Changulanyi Sentamu, is now calling on President Yoweri Museveni to redeem his image and honor democratic rights for all.
I also want to call upon the president of the country. I want you to remember, just like there was a time when you are not in power, you must remember that there will be a time when you are not in power. It is not too late to regain your legacy, to save your legacy, Mr. President.
The Italian government has today adopted a heavily criticized security decree, which will make it easier to expel migrants and strip them of Italian citizenship. According to the far-right Interior Minister Matteo Salvini, the new bill is a step forward to make Italy safer.
Questo ritengo che non leda alcun.
In my opinion, I think this measure is not harming any fundamental rights, because if I open the doors of my house and then, once you are in, you sell drugs to my children, even with all the possible humanity, I'm going to suspend your application and I'm going to send you back where you came from.
Salvini, who is also Deputy Prime Minister, has taken a hard line on immigration since the coalition came to power in June, refusing to allow several ships carrying migrants and asylum seekers rescued in the Mediterranean to dock at Italian ports. For more news and information, visit our page, dw.com.
And you are still listening to DW's Africa Link program, coming to you live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Eunice Wanjiru. Remember, you can always contribute to our program by going to our Facebook page, DW Africa.
And that's right indeed. We begin today's program with some good news. Three human rights activists, two corruption fighters, a farmer and an agriculture scientist are the 2018 winners of the Alternative Nobel Prize. They are tirelessly fighting the world over to make it a better place, but two winners stand out.
One of the farmer who turned a desert into a forest and the other is a forest maker. This is the story of Yakuba Sawadogo and Tony Rinaldo, presented by Eddie Micah Jr.
He is known as the man who stopped the desert. In 1980, Yakuba Sawadogo from Burkina Faso began transforming an almost 40-hectare piece of inhospitable land into forest. Today, more than 60 trees and bush species can be found there, and it is undisputedly one of the Sahel region's most diverse forest areas. He was called crazy, and his fields were set alight, but in spite of all the resistance, he never gave up. Today, he holds seminars in Burkina Faso and Niger, helping thousands of farmers to restore their land. Apart from the direct effect of helping farmers, the Zaire method has the potential to become an important tool for combating the causes of migration and building lasting peace. The prize committee praised him for having succeeded in turning inhospitable desert land into forest and teaching farmers to restore their soils with an innovative idea. Another recipient is Tony Rinaldo. The agronomist has lived and worked in Africa for decades. Rinaldo has taken on the task of combating the Sahel region's extreme deforestation and dehydration. The technique he has developed consists of creating trees from underground root networks. He has pioneered a simple but effective solution to deforestation that has earned him the nickname the Forest Maker. Rinaldo's technique involves growing trees from existing root systems, which are often still intact. Using a simple set of management practices taught by Rinaldo, farmers can regenerate and protect existing local vegetation.
People were very vulnerable in the 80s and around that time. It fluctuated between experiencing droughts one year, and then if it did rain, instead of soaking into the ground as it does now, it would flood off. And even if they had a successful crop growing, it would be destroyed by the floods. So there was starvation. People did die. The environmental interventions, the check dams, growing trees through FMNR and planting, all of these activities have acted like a buffer to the variation in the weather, so that when there's a drought, it's less severe, or its impact is less severe, because there's moisture to draw from in the soil. And when there's a year of heavy rainfall, it doesn't have that opportunity to cause damaging floods, because it's caught at every level coming down the valley.
The agronomist believes it has the potential to restore degraded drylands with an area the combined size of India.
Eddie Mecca Jr. with that report. Now, many of you have been, hailing Yakuba Sawadogo as a true hero from Burkina Faso. And of course, at this moment, we'd like to read some of your comments, beginning with Obiechina Peter from Nigeria says, wow, very impressive. What he did is worthy of emulation.
And Enoch from Ghana is saying, wow, congrats, Yakuba from Burkina, for the awards. This is what Africans we looking for. Let us all help and support him to achieve his goals.
George Achimbi says, Sawadogo, you have understood the dangers posed by global warming. Congrats and keep it up.
And last but not least, Njie Victor is saying, well, if France and Belgium will not come to decimate the forest for its woods and minerals, bless you for making local heroes. Ancestral blessings pour upon Yakuba.
Many thanks for those comments. And now to another story, but not in Africa, in Europe. And that is British Prime Minister Theresa May, who is chairing a cabinet meeting today amid growing pressure to ditch her Brexit plan. She has defended her blueprint despite EU leaders rejecting key proposals at a summit in Salzburg last week.
Now, May's Conservatives are holding their annual party conference later this week, with her rivals pushing for a hard Brexit. Earlier, before we came on air, I spoke to DW's Max Hoffman and wanted to find out whether today's meeting could be a step towards getting May's plan back on track.
The cabinet meeting itself is probably not going to help that much. The problem that Theresa May faces at the moment is that the EU wants her to compromise on two crucial issues that remain in the negotiations, the first one being, of course, the border between Northern Ireland and Ireland. As you know, Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom, and Ireland is part of the European Union. And you couldn't see that in the past because the UK was also part of the European Union, but now everybody's afraid there might be a hard border introduced between those two areas, and that might be a problem because that was an area where you had a lot of violence, where there were a lot of problems in the last decades, and only the fact that this border was hiding behind the European Union settled that region. And so what people are worried about is that this might come back up. So that's part one. And the second part is the nature, the relation of the future trade ties. Is it going to be a free trade agreement? Is the UK going to buy into the single market of the European Union? All those things are very complicated. The EU has said those are the red lines. That's where we need to compromise. But if Theresa May compromised on those, then she would get in very deep waters back home with the Brexiteers, who might even go as far as to say, okay, you are done, the people in her own party. And she's facing that problem next week when she has her party conference in Birmingham in the UK. But if she survives that, then the thinking is she might have a little more leeway to actually negotiate.
And what's the fallback position for Britain and the EU should there be no agreement?
I mean, if there's no deal, then there's no fallback. I mean, then they would fall back on World Trade Organization rules, which theoretically has a lot of horrible implications, especially for the UK. For example, it might mean that planes that are trying to head to the mainland from the UK would be grounded because there's no agreement anymore. It might also mean, it would certainly mean that trucks that want to import things into the UK from the EU would have to wait much, much longer than they do now. Right now, they don't have to wait, but each truck that passes over the channel would have to wait an average of 10 minutes. You might have just horrendous traffic jams, horrendous waiting lines. So that would be complete chaos. That's why all experts are saying the situation would be bad for the European Union if there were no deal, but it would be absolutely horrible for the United Kingdom. And that's why many still think that at the last minute they will work out an agreement.
I was speaking to DW's Max Hoffman.
Now, let's go back to Africa for a while, and that is in East Africa, where Uganda's popular musician turned politician vowed to fight for his country's freedom following the growing police brutality against opposition supporters and the media. Bobi Wine made the promise while addressing a press conference this Monday at his residence.
It was his first media press briefing since his return from the United States last week, where he had gone to receive treatment after allegedly being tortured.
And of course, let's listen to him speaking about his plan for the country.
The officials from the Ugandan government have always been trying to project a picture that Uganda is a democratic country. And for so long, the rights of people have been abused, people have been brutalized and many killed, and it has always been conveniently concealed. But I'm glad that cannot happen anymore. All these atrocities, all the injustices, and all the lies have been exposed to the whole world to see. Many more people were brutalized, and many continue to suffer in hospitals. Many have been detained without charge. And yes, many continue to be brutalized and tortured. The citizens of Uganda have gone through tough times, but my call to them is that we must stand together. We are in this together, and indeed when we stand together, we shall be able to liberate our country. This is not about a single person. It's about all of us. So we cannot just sit back and continue to watch with shock disturbing videos of the security officers, of the military, of the police brutalizing and torturing the people they are actually paid to protect.
Strong statement there from Uganda's musician, Bobi Wine, and politician. And we have very quickly some of your comments. Kala says, I think he tried to mean dying while trying to achieve his desired freedom, because in this unfortunate God-forgotten land, death is the registered way of finishing things anyway.
And Johnson Melchinyanzi is saying, this man Bobi Wine has awoken me. I was down in politics.
Ortega says, I support revolution in Africa to kick out those old greedy rulers in our motherland. We must unite as Africans. Many thanks for those comments. Keep up the debate flowing. And as usual, the platform is our Facebook page, DW Africa.
This is DW's Africa Link program coming to you live from Bonn, Germany. I'm Eunice Wanjiru.
And I'm Isaac Mugabe.
Coming up in the next 15 minutes, a couple in Ghana have opened a restaurant so as to serve healthy food and fight obesity in the country. Nayabiri David is the chef.
What I've realized that people out doing is very wrong is using other spices than the natural spices and also using oil to fry chicken.
And of course, also on the lineup, we have sports, which will come later on the program. But before all that, let's go to Liberia, where hundreds of protesters have staged a peaceful protest at the front of the United States Embassy in Monrovia under the campaign hashtag Bring Back Our Money for the alleged disappearance of some $15 billion Liberian dollars from the country.
Now, the demonstrators headed by the Economic Freedom Fighters of Liberia and other civil society groups want the U.S. government and the international community prevail on the government to bring in independent investigators to investigate on this ongoing financial saga. They also want aid in the to the country withheld until the whereabouts of the money is known and those involved prosecuted. Evelyn Pade reports from Monrovia.
It was raining cats and dogs, yet the protesters were unwavering in their calls for investigation into the alleged disappearance of 15 billion Liberian dollars. They presented a petition to the U.S. ambassador and later marched through major street corners to present their petition to the EU and the United Nations. Marty Colley of the Concerned Citizens United to Bring Back Our Money spoke to protesters in this manner.
Today is a historic moment in Liberia. It is the beginning of a new renaissance. Systemic corruption must end. The ambassador just received our petition, and they have promised us to prevail upon the We Are Left government to account for the 16 billion. We want to inform the government of President Weah that this is the beginning of a new renaissance to end corruption and impunity. We will continue this process from Masowale to Maryland. We will continue this process until the 16 billion is accounted for. We are moving on to the EU. For the EU, we are moving on Broad Street to the Pan-African Plaza.
Emmanuel Gonkwe, leader of the Economic Freedom Fighters of Liberia, took some few seconds to respond to questions of what exactly was in the petition.
We have asked the international community to help us bring our independent investigator because we do not trust the credibility of the government. This government is also accused. They are corrupt. We do not trust the credibility of George Weah because he's involved in the stolen process of the money. So therefore, we are asking the American and the international organization to come and help us so that we restitute our money.
The youth at the protest, majority of whom voted the football legend into power, are disappointed.
I'm civil spashu. I'm protesting for our money.
I am protesting for our money. I am in the rain for the Liberian people. I believe that the president will investigate all those who stole the money.
Those who are stealing the money.
Every time they say, oh,
every time the government says that the US rate is going up and coming down, the government always blames the Fula people. The business people are not responsible for this economic problem. So right now, I am in the rain to make sure we get back our money. The officials have our money. They took it somewhere else and shared it while we are here suffering.
While these protests are ongoing across the capital, Monrovia, President George Weah is currently attending the United Nations General Assembly. Prior to his departure, he addressed the nation, affirming that his government was committed to making sure the money is accounted for and those found guilty punished.
Evelyn Pade with that report.
And a quick comment on that. Memosua says next they should protest at the homes of former Vice President Joseph Boakye, who was head of the Senate, George Weah, who was a member at that time, and Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, former president and the former central bank governor, Milton Weeks. They all authorized the printing of additional banknotes. So in other words, Eunice Memo thinks that everyone should be held accountable who had a high position at the time of the printing.
Oh, yeah, and that must be a lot of protests that people will have to do.
Exactly, yeah.
Health check.
Earlier in the year, a joint study by Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology and the University of Western Cape in South Africa found that 43% of Ghanaians are obese due to their lifestyles. Because of this, a Ghanaian couple opened the Verity restaurant to serve the best food to the people of northern Ghana.
Both are medical doctors. Fast food restaurants are sprouting up in the whole country, especially in urban centers. But the way the food is prepared remains a health threat to many consumers. Maxwell Sook in Tamale went to find out.
Chef Nayabri David is in the kitchen chopping vegetables to prepare food this moment. David is the main chef at Verity Restaurant in Tamale. In his 9 years of experience cooking both local and intercontinental dishes, Chef David says he has realized many bad practices by a lot of restaurant operators in Ghana.
What I've realized that people out doing is very wrong is using other spices than the natural spices, and also using oil to fry chicken, not only the chicken, any other meat, without even proper seasoning.
Experts say excess fat in food can lead to hyperlipidemia, a condition which there are high levels of fat or cholesterol in the blood, which is capable of causing major health risks, including obesity. A study in February this year conducted by Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology and the University of Western Cape in South Africa found that 43% of Ghanaians are obese. This is one of the popular fast food joints in Tamale where dozens of people come to grab their packed food. But the problem is that almost all of these places fry their food. This city, just like any other city, town or village in Ghana, is full of such joints. It is such foods combined with sedentary lifestyles that mostly lead to overweight and obesity. A senior physician consultant at the Tamale Teaching Hospital, Dr. Abdallah Yahaya, says the trends are bad.
Obesity is caused by carbohydrate too. If you take a lot of carbohydrates without exercising from it, once you don't sweat, the excess carbohydrates converts to fat and then it increases your body weight. You will see your abdomen growing big. And then for the women, you see their hips became big. These are all dangerous fats. They block the arteries and then they cause less supply of oxygen to the extremities.
Dr. Abdallah explains the risk of obesity is bound more on wealthy families than poor households in Ghana.
People of tertiary degrees who have good salaries and can afford to buy this junk food for their children had more obesity in their families than those living in the rural areas.
Back to Verity Restaurant, Dr. Shiba Kumfa, the restaurant CEO, advises families to teach their children a proper culture of eating.
Most children love to snack on sweets. Yes, so if you teach them that they can rather snack on fruits and vegetables, they grow up to live that kind of lifestyle, and so it's easier. But if we rather prefer to give them toffees and biscuits and calipo and fruit juices, which are, most of them are not even natural, then they grow up loving these things and it's difficult to even change.
The food culture in Ghana is another factor. Staple foods such as chibes and cereals contain high levels of carbohydrate. And health experts say the human body converts unused carbohydrate into fat. That means more Ghanaians are at risk if they remain sedentary.
Maxwell Sook in Tamale. Now, Isaac, I think people sometimes blame too much fast food when it comes to health matters.
Yeah, it's a story that not only us are covering, but of course many people have been reporting about the benefits of this fast food, like McDonald's, where you find them overcrowded, KFC, so much chicken there, or whether it's oily or dry, I'm not so sure because I'm not a big fan of these fast foods.
Yeah, well, I'm actually not saying that they're good. I know they have their negative side.
Yeah.
But also people need to remember that the way we cook our food and the way what we eat is also another issue, because when it comes to the food we eat, like the doctor said here, too much carbohydrate, and this is what changes into fat.
Exactly. But also, it brings in the same question. The whole blame is heaped on the fast foods.
Yes.
Perhaps because people are too fast to look for time, to find time, and go home and prepare, you know, healthy meals that, you know, don't have so much carbohydrates. And also even have a way of knowing how to read which kind of foods that have so many carbohydrates and high cholesterol, etc. You know, so, I mean, being particular about what you eat is really healthy. But do our listeners know how to tell that this food really has high carbohydrates, you think?
I think they do. It's just that they need to know how to balance their diet so that they can eat more vitamins and more proteins and less carbohydrates to, you know, balance their diet.
Exactly. I agree there with you when you have to take consideration to a balanced diet. So at this stage, we would like to ask you, do you take consideration that you have to maintain a balanced diet in order to stay healthy? Just go to our Facebook page, W Africa, and start the debate. Now, Eunice, let's move on to another story that is making also headlines.
Yes.
The trial of Diane Rwigara, a prominent critic of Rwandan President Paul Kagame, was today suspended after her lawyers asked the removal of one of the judges of the High Court panel.
And the judge was involved in the pretrial detention hearing. Diane has been in prison more than a year after being blocked from running in a presidential election. And she was later charged with tax evasion, forgery, and inciting rebellion against Kagame.
Yeah, now some of you have been, you know, commenting. Isaac Tin says, political opponents are a real threat to them. Are you talking about dictators? Really feel bad for this young woman who dares to challenge a dictator. Africans, wake up.
And Arnold Panty saying, good move for her lawyers. Seems unfair for the same judge to detain and judge her.
Now, we come to that particular segment of sports. We'll be back right after this.
Africa Link. Sport.
Now, Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi's decade-long domination of football's individual awards is under threat from Real Madrid and Croatian midfielder Luka Modric and Liverpool's Egyptian forward Mohamed Salah when FIFA's Player of the Year is announced later this evening. For the first time in 12 years, Messi is not even nominated among the three finalists for the award, Eunice. I mean, this is really surprising.
It is, definitely. And now both Messi and Ronaldo have won FIFA's awards in different categories or intervals, 5 times each, and the Portuguese can move out on his own after winning a third straight Champions League title. Who do you think will get this title?
That's a very difficult question for many soccer analysts, I should say, because at the moment we all know how much contribution that Real Madrid's Cristiano Ronaldo has contributed to the team. And of course, just like you mentioned, this is the third in straight. By all means, also, Lionel Messi has also, you know, been impressive. And of course, at this moment, I should say his fans are very disappointed. Nevertheless, I can put my money on Luka Modric. You remember the World Cup? He was very inspiring for his team.
Yes, definitely.
And when they returned, you know, in Zagreb, there was lots of celebrations that went on for 3 days. Straight 3 days, I should assure you. All of them, you know, even the president herself, you know, saying a lot of regards and, you know, heroic respect for Luka Modric. So I can put my money on Luka Modric. That said, I also wish the best for Salah Mohamed. I might be disappointed, well, if Ronaldo takes it, although he also deserves it in equal measures.
Well, it's just a matter of time, then we get to see where
to
your
know,
money
yeah.
is going to go, whether
exactly.
you get it or get it
yeah.
back.
And of course, yeah, you're wondering why, or not only even you, some people on social media are awash about Lionel Messi.
Exactly. Why is he not being nominated this time round?
Yeah, I was also surprised, you know, why he wasn't nominated. But I think he can take a well-deserved break. 12 years in a row, year in, year out, you're nominated as one of the best, you know, football players, not only for the FIFA award, at the same time, even Ballon d'Or, you know, they have the same value, these trophies. So I should say, I don't think he has something to whine about, Lionel Messi, now that he's not on the list. At the same time, he can take a rest and say, well, my cardboard unit is full of trophies. I can just leave it at that and then and leave it for the rest and also to have a chance.
It's also time to give the rest a chance also to get this award.
Exactly. And as usual, if you're a football fan out there, on Monday we give you this dose of sports. You can also, you know, start a debate on our Facebook page, DW Africa, and tell us who do you think between Cristiano Ronaldo and Luka Modric, of course not forgetting Salah Mohamed, who's going to take the trophy. And on that, we end this production. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Eunice Onjiro. Thank you for having us.
DW, made for minds.